There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday edition of the show. How to get in touch? Well, you know, but if you're new to the show, let's add you to the list. You could add our number to the list as well. With 56 hours a week of live local shows, whether it's this show or any of the shows for the week or something on the weekend, or there's so many times you might want to chime in, keep this number handy. So if you're new around here, we're in the 251, but 251-343-0106. 343-0106 for a phone call and a text. And those of y'all running the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free and waiting for you over at the App Store or Google Play, just look for our name, FMTALK 1065. You can leave us a talkback message with the app as well. All right. As we get started today, I guess President Trump in Asia, big going on trip to Asia, meeting with folks in Asia, not meeting with, because you could also say, Russia, goes the whole way over through Asia, but he's not meeting with Putin, but he is meeting with Asian leaders here. We'll talk about that. At the same time, with that international side of it, there are, well, read it this way, U.S. assets that are leaving where there were a lot of U.S. assets that were closer to the Med recently. Remember, there's been this war between Israel and Hamas and Iran and all that stuff. Well, some of them are steaming. I like the term that we use, steaming. Naval assets are steaming towards places, even though we're talking about nuclear reactors. But they're steam with nuclear reactor, too. Saw this. So we'll get into the discussion of Venezuela today. Like I did last week, much to the chagrin of many, I'm still kind of worried about which boats we're taking out without due process. But this came out. This is from USNI News. All right. So it says here, Hegseth, which they actually call him Defense Secretary, and I would say now it'd be War Secretary, right? Pete Hegseth has tasked the aircraft carrier USS Gerald R. Ford and its escorts to the U.S. Southern Command to support the Trump administration's ongoing counter-drug efforts. This, according to a Pentagon spokesman, saying this on Friday. Here's what came out. Sean Parnell from the Pentagon wrote on X, the enhanced U.S. force presence in the USS South AOR will bolster U.S. capacity to detect, monitor, and disrupt illicit actors and activities that compromise the safety and prosperity of the United States homeland and our security in the Western Hemisphere. These forces will enhance and augment existing capabilities to disrupt narcotics trafficking and degrade and dismantle TCOs, end quote. So the Gerald R. Ford, which is not like we're just having a small ship. I mean, this is a carrier, right? With nuclear power plants on it. Not only does it, I think it can launch, 90 aircraft off of it. It has lasers and rail guns and all that kind of stuff on it. I mean, this is, one of our biggest and strongest assets, which I love the fact that it's Jerry Ford it's named for. Right, as presidents have been lampooned, I think, and my Navy folks out there can let me know that I think the Ford is one of the strongest assets in the Navy. So it's steaming from, once again, steaming, because that's the term you use, which I like. I mean, they're still steaming. You picture like a coal-burning ship here. It's steaming towards Venezuela as it left Croatia. How about that? It was in Croatia, which makes sense to have it staged in that area. Remember, we had a lot of naval assets there around the Med. And it's gone to Venezuela. Now, just look at this. It goes on in the story. It says, as of today, USS Forrest Sherman was operating in the Red Sea and the Arabian Sea, operating independently from the strike group. Those are being moved. It said, forward in the strike group. Here we go. I mean, here's what, picture this, our Navy, our awesome Navy, these assets, now turning from the Med and heading west. The Ford and the strike group will join U.S. Navy warships in the region, including guided missile destroyers, the USS Jason Dunham, USS Gravely, USS Stockdale, guided missile cruiser, USS Lake Erie, littoral combat ship, USS Wichita, and nuclear attack submarines. This is what's going to Venezuela. In addition, amphibious warships, the USS Iwo Jima and the USS Fort Lauderdale, USS San Antonio, with the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit embarked as well. In addition, U.S. Air Force assets have been sent into Puerto Rico, including the F-35 Lightning II Joint Strike Fighters. Some of those, I think, were based out of Montgomery, I think, if I have my commands right. So that's kind of what's heading into the theater. Now, I would say one thing. The fact that we have amphibious warships and Marines tells me there's at least a possibility of stepping on Venezuelan soil. Because this is what the president has talked about this some and said, you know, maybe we strike them, you know, on land. Is this really about Venezuela? And I made that my note this morning. Is this more, when I wrote this down, I said, it's more about China than it is Venezuela? You know, China having a strong foothold, pretty darn strong foothold in Central and South America, right, as they moved into places, kind of filling in any kind of voids that we have left. Is this about, I do believe President Trump wants to stop the drugs coming in. I do believe that. But is this also about projecting strength in that region for China? Because, I mean, think about what I just rolled out there. Think about, those are the ships they're telling us are there. I mean, carriers, you know, warships, nuclear subs to take on the drug cartels? Does it seem like it's a little much? Is this really about that? Now, of course, the discussion as well, you know, we'll go into Venezuela. Do we want to go into Venezuela? Drug spot or not, do we want to put U.S. troops in Venezuela? I mean, the fact that the, you know, you got the Marine Expeditionary Force on there. You have amphibious landing craft there. Doesn't mean they will, but they are set up to go after what the they've called unlawful combatants, right? The drug traffickers. And speaking of which, too, we go back to this thing that I was talking about on Friday that, you know, not everybody, believe me, not everybody agrees with me on this. I am not, I talked about it with Congressman Jerry Carl, right, running for Congress. And he seems to be okay with this. A lot of y'all were on the text line, but I have my worries about just blowing up boats that we're told for sure are drug transports. Now, arresting them, seizing them, taking them in, running them through the courts, putting them in prison, I'm good. I'm good with that. We just blow them up. Are we sure? We sure we got the right boat? Sure we got the right people? Well, this is a little clip. Here's a clip from yesterday morning. This was over at Fox News on their Fox News Sunday show. And it starts off with a question here and then a clip of President Trump and then some reaction here from Rand Paul. And yeah, you listen to the show, you're going to get some Rand Paul. You know that. Here it is. This is from yesterday morning.
Let's start somewhere where I think the two of you agree. And that's on some of what of the last bit of what Lucas was reporting on there about those strikes out in the sea. The president says there's going to be more information and briefing coming to Capitol Hill. Here's what he said Thursday.
You know, the land is going to be next, and we may go to the Senate, we may go to the, you know, Congress and tell them about it, but I can't imagine they'd have any problem with it. I think they're going to probably like it, except for the radical left lunatics.
All right, so I'll start with you, Senator Paul. What do you need to hear in a briefing? What questions do you have?
You know, it's not so much about a briefing, but we haven't had a briefing. To be clear, we've got no information. I've been invited to no briefing. But a briefing is not enough to overcome the Constitution. The Constitution says that when you go to war, Congress has to vote on it. And during a war, then, there's a lower rules for engagement. People do sometimes get killed without due process. But the drug war or the war or the crime war has typically been something we do through law enforcement. And so far, they have alleged that these people are drug dealers. No one said their name. No one said what evidence. No one said whether they're armed. And we've had no evidence presented. So at this point, I would call them extrajudicial killings. And this is akin to what China does, to Iran does with drug dealers. They summarily execute people without presenting evidence to the public. So it's wrong.
Okay. So, and so would, according to the president, Rand Paul, radical left lunatic, I guess I am too, just even questioning this. These simplistic arguments get made, right? People will say, well, listen, you must be for the drug dealers. Sure. Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right. Like, whenever I've questioned whether the state of Alabama should be in the retail liquor sales business, they'll say, well, Sean wants kids to be buying booze and drunk in the streets. Yeah, get a grown-up argument here. The question is, are we doing this? Do we believe that we're always getting the right people here, right? And are we doing the things that we would say if other countries did, we would have a problem with it. Now, on top of this, we have all these military assets going to Venezuela. Actually, some are already there. I would argue that it may be more about a projection of strength for China than it is. But we talk about the war on drugs. Maybe this is it. Maybe with all the talk about the war on drugs for all these years, there's going to be a war on drugs. We hadn't won that war yet. I don't think you ever will until you deal with the fact that people want drugs. We've got a demand issue, right, in this country that leads to the supply. But are we going to do, is it going to be a war? Are we going to put assets not only off the coast, you know, putting a blockade around Venezuela, shooting crafts coming out of Venezuela? Are we then going to, as they talked about the land portion of it, you heard President Trump mention a little bit there, are we going to put U.S. troops in another country to be taking out? You know, we've done it before with agents, but it's been with a agreement with a country like Colombia, right? We've had a memorandum of understanding or something to that effect with those operations. We're going to be landing Marines and amphibious crafts to go in after the drug dealers. And you know what happens, too. The second you do that, then the drug dealers figure out another place to go and set up shop. We'll talk about when we get back at 343-0106. Plus, President Trump in Asia. He's big in Japan, I can tell you that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:22, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and check some inventory. David, how's it looking?
Inventory's good, Sean, and we've probably got 35 that we're looking at today, so hopefully we'll get, you know, a good couple of handfuls of those 35. We've got the two Toyota Camrys we was talking about. They came in good-looking cars, one, the XLE, and then one's a SE. XLE, of course, it's hard-loaded six-cylinder sunroof. We got the Corvette we talked about the other day, 2020 Corvette. It's got less than 1,000 miles on it. Got a Jeep, a 1975 Jeep J10 four-wheel drive.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just something different. And if anybody hears that, you're that kind of guy, just give me a holler. I've got it here. It belongs to a good friend of mine. And he was going to restore it, and he just don't have time to fool with it. But it's a really nice truck, runs down the road straight, engine, transmission, everything's good. I think it's worth the money. And then we've got a ton of small SUVs and pickup trucks, so it's a really good time to come see us.
Okay. Well, tell folks how to come see you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
All right, there goes David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. Speaking of that, so I was in a Jeep. I hadn't spent a lot of time in Jeeps over my life, very, very little, but out in Utah. And I guess I looked, they didn't charge. I did get my deposit back, so I guess we're okay. Rented a, because we're out there hunting in Utah and had to be in, had to have four-wheel drive, so you can find some car dealerships and places like that that'll rent you four-wheel drive. I'm sure they probably rent them to a lot of people that just go into the national parks where you really can't get off the road. Rented that Jeep, and we spent, it was good. Great four-wheel drive. Great, great, great. A lot of rocks and then snow and mud and all that kind of stuff we go through. But they are small. Like, I you know, I've spent so much time in a full-size truck that I, like, got to the airport the other night and got back in my truck. I went, oh, okay. I've been, you know that feeling like you've been in one kind of vehicle for a while and then get back in yours and you're like, oh, yeah, this is a big difference. All right, let's go to the text line here. Let's see. First up here, Brandon. Says it's because you had, my opinion, it's because you have one of those big, fancy five-motor boats. Laugh out loud. Yeah, right. Got two that I can barely afford. Two engines, not the five. The go-fasters, right? They, you know, what's old is new again. I mean, any of you of my age, remember Miami Vice? That was the whole thing. The whatever the cocaine guys would have the big speedboats, and then Crockett and Tubbs would have to go undercover. How many times could they go undercover, too, before people figured out they were undercover cops? Anybody ever asked that one back then? continue to be undercover, and then they bust the guy, and like the word didn't get out in the cocaine dealer news or whatever that these guys were caught. Believe me, I was entranced by the show when I was a youngster. Let's see. This is from Sir James of Loxley. Said, it's obvious, Sean, you have never experienced someone passing away from an overdose of fentanyl. So saying that I support the annihilating of any transport of drugs into our country, Venezuela surely knows the consequences. Well, James, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry for you, and I'm on that list too. I have had a personal connection with somebody that died from an overdose. So I'm right there with you. At the same time, it's not that I want, you got to understand, I said at the beginning here too, and I figured I'd get the emotional argument. I don't want the drugs in here either. I'm a father of children, and I'm worried about your children and everybody's children and grownups and all these people. You can bust them and arrest them and throw them in prison for the rest of their lives without this idea of this. We're, and don't, you know, don't say we're infallible in knowing that we got the right people. And I know we talked on Friday. They probably have agents embedded that tell you that it's this boat and this is going with the load of drugs or something like that, maybe. But what makes us different, this is why the Constitution is so important. In this country, as we drift farther from it, at least we have some kind of benchmark to go back to. Right? A country that doesn't have that, you can drift and drift and drift. At least we can sit and complain how far something has drifted from being constitutional and have some attempt and have a Supreme Court that gets there to try to bring it, reel it back in. And things like this, this is the problem with populism. And like I said, 80% of the time, I am very happy with Trump's policies. I'm usually like eight out of 10 times. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. We finally got somebody in here doing this. But there's about 20% of the time I go, but we still have to adhere to a constitution, the things that make us different than all the other countries or most of them. By the way, David had missed, I guess David had texted me. Before I even played the clip of Rand Paul, he said, be careful, Sean. You're starting to sound more like Rand Paul than you are Pete Hegseth or Donald Trump. I think I've always probably branded more like Rand Paul, don't you think? And goes on to say, I'm surprised the Democrats haven't gotten a federal judge to enjoin the president for using military assets on drug boats in Venezuela. We all know that federal judges think they run the government anyway. That is true. Let's see. Derek says it's breaking the BRICS banking system. That's a serious one, Derek. I tried to talk about that some in the past and never really got much traction here. They had a big BRICS meeting earlier. Was it this year? Yeah, I think so. They had a big. That's the one. You know, the decoupling of the dollar and oil will be very bad for this country. But they have. I understand their motivation when you have. you know, Brazil. The BRICS is an acronym, right? Brazil, Russia, India, and China, I think. Those are the BRICS countries that if they can decouple from the dollar, it means a lot more for them. But now with China, which I really like, I really like President Trump's leverage with China. Instead of just saying, China, you shouldn't buy Russian oil. He's like, hey, if you want to get a better deal here on these tariffs, you better not buy Russian oil. And guess what they stopped doing? Buying Russian oil. I think that was good. Jason said, Sean, our friends on the left should love President Trump for standing up to a real dictator in Maduro. Also be interesting to hear from a previous guest and security expert, Jonathan Martin. If I remember right, his thoughts on Venezuela operations is probably me, my buddy Jonathan McConnell. And I think he hopefully will be on the show this week. So he and I, because he will definitely be contrary to me on this. And he's got a company that works in securing marine assets out there. Also a veteran and one of my interviews during Veterans Month. So probably hear from Jonathan this week, if not next week, but probably this week. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile news coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Listen for a second here. Listen right here. R.I.P. R.L. Burnside. If I ever had something to, I've never done anything that had that walkout music too. But if I did, it's a jump ball between R.L. and James Brown. But R.L. Burnside. Oh my gosh, man! If that guy would have lived longer. All right. Phone number 343-0106 for a call or a text. And tell you about, I've told you before, but if you're new here, I'll tell you about my buddy Jeff Stone. He runs a store called Stone Arms and just out Airport Boulevard west of Snow. And got a call today. So here we go. Got a call today from a person, actually a person's been on this station many times. I won't name him, but calling about Stone Arms for his father, who's become very interested in, you know, silencer suppressors. And it's from this angle that I was talking about the other day, and I'm talk about this time of year. So to get your green light, right, to get a suppressor, to get a silencer, has been something that I started that project years ago, and I frankly just didn't get it done. Like, we'd fill out some of the forms. I had a manila folder set on my desk back there, about 5 yards from where we're sitting right now. And I would fill out some of the forms, but then you had to go down to the sheriff's department to get your fingerprints, had to go elsewhere to get a passport photo. If the forms you filled out, you know how government forms are. If something wasn't exactly, this had to be capitalized, this didn't, this, you know, street address, all that stuff, it would kick it back. It was a pain. And Jeff heard me complaining about it. He said, come out to the store. He said, I got this thing, this kiosk in. He put it in earlier this year. And he said, you'll get it done right away. So I go in there. He said, expect 30 to 45 minutes doing it. Y'all, it was 20 minutes is what it took me. And I'm not super fast on these things. You go through the process. It's like a go-to next kind of deal. You put this information in, go to next. Put the information in, go to next. And then it takes your fingerprints right there on this screen. And they get the passport photo. They take it. They put that with the fingerprints and all the other information. Sends it off to the feds. And it took me not 2 years, not 6 months, these horror stories. It took me 2 weeks to get a green light back in my tax stamp from the feds. To be able to shoot suppressed. And it was something that if you've been saying, I'm going to do it, you can get it done now. So my buddy called me about his dad, said, yeah, he's interested in it. I said, go out there, use the kiosk, get through it and get that green light. And then, you know, we talk about shooting with cans, suppressors, silencers, a lot when people think, okay, well, I'm going to put that on my AR platform or something like that. And, you know, or, think about deer season, and this is, I mean, so I, you know, I'm shooting it on a shooting one, shooting a suppressor on a modern sporting rifle, possibly, but also it works on my deer rifles. And I saw this when I was actually, I saw this in Utah when I was hunting a lot of people out there shooting suppressed with their deer rifles. And I'm going to do the same thing here at home because the amount of damage you do to your ears, think about you're sitting in a shooting house or something like that, and you're shooting that rifle. That's doing big time damage to your ears. You do this with a, and yes, do I carry hearing protection? Sure. But if you have a deer come through that, you know, a quick shot, you got to make a shot or something like that, is a great buck, or you're just going to shoot. I've done it so many times. And you're going to be doing damage to your ears, even though at the range you're wearing shooting protection. But when you're shooting at that buck, it's still doing damage to your ears. They've got, so go ahead and get your green light to get your suppressor, get your silencer. And then the folks at Stone Arms not only have the great selection of those suppressors, they also have the gunsmith there. If your rifle's not pre-tapped for it, not threaded for it, they can do that work there. Get that done before deer season starts. Be shooting suppressed. It's going to be a real gain for your hearing, and it's going to be something that's easily done if you go to Stone Arms and get this going. So, like I told my buddy this morning, it is that simple. One trip to Stone Arms. Now, more information online, stonearmsinc.com. But best thing to do is go see Jeff and the whole crew out there, veteran-owned company. Go see them at Stone Arms. They're just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard on the south side. All right, to the text line here. Oh, I've been remiss. Let me get caught up here, and let's go to Rock and Roll Doctor said they only had word of mouth and Polaroids back during the Miami Vice days, Sean. Hits on Crockett and Tubbs were limited to Colombian data. I don't think they even had Polaroids. Yes. But did you ever wonder that? Like, they did so many undercovers, I was like, man, they're gonna know Ricardo Tubbs is really not the Jamaican guy he's pretending to be or whatever. Let's see. The Mariner said being compared to Rand Paul is about the only modern political name that would not be an insult to me. I feel the same way, Mariner. And I don't agree with Rand Paul on everything, but his consistency and his dedication to the Constitution is something I do like. Derek says exactly. You do it because of drugs, which sounds good, but the true mission is a deterrent. I think there's some of that. I mean, the assets that we have steaming towards Venezuela and the ones already there. I mean, I went through that list at the beginning of the show. It is something, y'all. It's like, it's not like just a warship. I mean, it's something. I wonder how much of that is the drugs and how much of that is, hey, China, takes us less time to get there than y'all. Let's see. Marty said, the more I hear Rand Paul talk, the more I understand why someone would snatch him off his lawnmower and beat his ASS. Yes. Does he make you mad to where he would, like the guy that attacked him? Why does that make you mad? I mean, what he's saying is actually accurate, right? It's constitutionally accurate. Dirt Digger says, Sean, you're a great American. You don't choose the political parties. You care for everyone in your community. That's why you're turning up our voices, as long as it isn't against what you can't do on the radio. Best station in Alabama. Thank you, Dirt Digger. That's kind. I do open up to different opinions. Like, that's what this is all about. And this texter says, unnamed texter, we need to invade California. A member sure read four. I don't know what that is, sure read four, but invade California. who is invading California? Here's the thing about California, too. Getting this discussion, I've been in this discussion recently with folks. They're like, I wish California just fall off into the Pacific Ocean. I'm like, no, I don't. I wish their politics would change, but geographically, there's too many people there, first of all, and there are too many people that are wired incorrectly. It's a beautiful state. I mean, no wonder there's a gajillion people there. I mean, if you could look past the people there, it's a beautiful, I mean, really beautiful state. Somebody had asked me this morning if I'd heard of this. I did see this story about Scott Bessent. You know, sometimes it's better not to say anything. So Scott Bessent had this comment here. He's Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. And, you know, President's in Asia now, right? So he's doing the Asian tour. And one of the discussions there we've talked about on this show many times now is that China buying no soybeans from American farmers, right? And what that means for, American exports. I mean, big market for China and soybeans. So this quote was from a story over at thehill.com. It said, President Trump's tariff battle with China has hit soybean farmers particularly hard. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says he feels their pain, which I can think back to Bill Clinton with the lip biting and the feeling. Remember that? I feel your pain. And Scott Besen says he was on ABC's This Week, said, in case you don't know it, I'm actually a soybean farmer, so I have felt this pain too. End quote. Goes on to say, a former hedge fund manager, Besen's net worth is roughly $600 million, according to Forbes. According to his public financial disclosure filed in January, he owns corn and soybean farmland in North Dakota worth between $5 million and $25 million, which isn't a ton, actually. That's not, I mean, if you know what good ground goes for up there, that's not, it's not, I mean, it's significant, but it's not like he owns the whole state. It says the farmland generates between $100,000 to $1 million in rental income for Besant via revenue sharing agreement. Yeah, it's crop share. I mean, it's a normal thing. So he owns land that he leases to producers, right, to farmers. So I don't know if he, when he says he's a soybean farmer, if Scott Besant should have just, on that one, just chill out, not say anything. Because he really, he is a landholder that receives income from soybean farming. I mean, he just set himself up to be pilloried on I saw most of it over on X. It says Besant's comments came after he, along with U.S. delegation that included Trade Representative Jamison Greer and Secretary of State Marco Rubio, met with Li Shenzhang, China's top trade negotiator, and Chinese Vice Premier He Lifang in Malaysia this weekend. It says U.S. is, like, this part of the story is accurate. This is a tough thing on farmers. I just don't think Scott Besen should have said, yeah, I'm a soybean farmer too. Kind of. So the U.S. is typically the top supplier of soybeans to China. Last year, U.S. farmers sold $12.64 billion worth of soybeans to Chinese buyers, according to USDA. But that has dropped to zero during the trade war. Adding insult to injury, Chinese importers last month purchased more than 1 million tons of soybeans from Argentina, just days after the U.S. announced the $20 billion financial lifeline for Buenos Aires. That's interesting. Need to call down to, what's his name? Oh my gosh, I can't remember that. Yeah, new leader there, Argentina, libertarian guy, who swung that country so far from socialist to center right or further than that. Somebody will know. I come up with his name in a second. So we gave him a $20 billion financial lifeline, and then they sold to China. Maybe we need to sail the USS Gerald Ford down there. Just take a little tour of the Argentinian coast. It's probably beautiful this time of year, right? They're just getting into spring down there. It might be nice to take a little tour. During the weekend meeting, the two sides addressed concerns American soybean farmers. The Treasury Secretary added that once a trade deal with China is announced, our soybean farmers will feel very good about what's going to be going on for both this season and coming seasons for several years. So there you go. Scott Besant, the soybean farmer. Thank you, David. Javier Milei, thank you. So yeah, I mean, if Milei and them took $20 billion in a little, you think Milei called Trump the way like kids call you from college and be like, hey, Dad, so I know that the budget was this right now, but if I got a chance to do a thing, can I get some more money? So if Milei does that call, not that I've heard that call recently, but if Milei does that call, I could have said, yeah, sure. You don't sell the beans to China. Scott Besant, soybean farmer. Coming back, more Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Gold down a little bit today. Maybe a chance for somebody who sold to get back in, or somebody new to get in here. And you said the same thing on silver, down a little bit too.
Yeah, I've actually had a few people already in today trying to take advantage of that. So, yeah, absolutely. This would be a great time to buy some gold, some silver, or you could still come in and sell it because it's still at $4,000 at the moment. So,
yeah, I'd like to point that out to people too. We're talking about like a couple day average. If you look over the last year, I mean, you know, you made a point, people that bought years and years ago, but if somebody bought, like, beginning of the year, it's $2,500 or whatever, something like that for an mm-hmm. ounce, and we go, well, it's down to 4,000, you know, it's down to 4,019. Okay, that's still a pretty good return right there. And yeah, there's a little bit of a dip today on that and in silver. And for people selling, like, people are going to think, well, okay, well, I've got coins, I've got, you know, bars, but y'all are buying, like, even if people have jewelry they're not wearing or something like that, you could buy that.
Scrap stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people get surprised with how much extra cash they have sitting around. You know, sometimes it could be not a whole lot, obviously, but a lot of time if you have a decent amount, that could be a few $100, you know, that just sits in your jewelry box or drawer, you know, kind of forgotten.
There you go. All right. And also, we talked about last week, y'all are always ahead of the game. Y'all get this. It's not even Halloween yet. I'm not going to assail Anna with my procrastination lifestyle, but not even Halloween, but y'all are already stacked up with Christmas gifts.
Oh, yeah. Right now, we have plenty of jewelry to go around. We have Christmas rounds. We have open L knives. We have other pop culture coins and things. Unique, different things. Like, we have a random thing. We have, like, a Pepsi cap. You know, it's a sterling, not sterling silver, but it's fine silver. Like the old glass bottles, caps that they came with. It's the one of those made out of silver.
Cool. So, I mean, you got some really unique gift ideas. Tell people how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street, which is a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
All right, Anna, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Anna. Mobile Pay Coins and Fine Jewelry. By the way, saw him here. He's in the green room. My buddy Ben Murphy is going to join us here in just a little bit on the show. Lots to talk about with him. Text here. This from, is this unnamed texter? Said, Sean, I'm a little older than you, but I've always, wait, no, that's C.B. Carl. But let me go. This unnamed texter said, General MacArthur threatened to flatten Phoenix City. Ike wouldn't let him. Remember, you're talking about and Jeff talked about, done some interviews, guy that wrote a book about it. Y'all want to see, like, some gangsta stuff? You want to see some gangster stuff? Look at what happened in Phoenix City. I mean, that place was, I mean, you got to remember, the gambling elements killed an elected official. I mean, that was, it's right here in our own state. It's been a while, but. All right, C.B. Carl said, Sean, I'm a little older than you, but I've always thought the same thing about Charlie's Angels doing undercover missions on blowing up the drug boats. Oh, yeah, with Charlie's Angels, like, how would they never get... And they kind of stood out since they were smoking molten lava Kilauea hot. Just saying. How would you not, like, they were on a mission before. International, like, the international bad guys got to share some pictures. Like, if you see these babes, something's up here. And C.B. Carl says, on blowing up the drug boats, you're correct. I would like my government to stay on the moral high ground. I don't understand why we haven't intercepted these boats and get some undeniable evidence that would justify the attacks. I mean, if we can look at them like that, like, it's not, I don't want them bringing drugs in. I want us to snatch them up. You know, if they decide to fight back, smoke them. But arrest them, due process, charge them, throw them in prison. Forever. It's just that I know they're saying that they're sure they're the drug boats. But, you know, we've been not saying they're doing it now, but our government's lied to us before as well. But on the side note, like Derek and I were talking about back and forth, I do think there's another part of this. Those assets, if you didn't hear at the beginning of the hour, I kind of ran through. It's not just, which is something in its own right, carrier, the Gerald Ford, but the naval assets now deployed to the coast, off the coast of Venezuela, is like, it's like war. I mean, it's a war footing. I mean, it's big time. So how much of that is about the drug dealing and how much of that is about, hey, China, you know, I mean, kind of nice to have, right? You're over there, you're going to meet with Xi, you can do these things. Here, half a world away from China, just letting you know, take a look at, we're flexing, right? We're flexing. Speaking of Asia and the president, talking about Japan here. So the headline here, Japan's first female prime minister to meet Trump. What to know about the heavy metal fan? All right, heavy metal fan. This is from Fox News. President Donald Trump offered complimentary words about, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but we'll try, Sanae Takaichi, Japan's first female prime minister. Takeuchi's resume blends her strong brand of conservatism with a rock and roll streak while drawing inspiration from former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. What about that? Conservative with a rock and roll streak. That's unique, huh? Takeuchi, 64, came to power earlier this month after the resignation of former Prime Minister Ishiba following the Liberal Democratic Party's loss of the upper house majority in July. Known for her uncompromising views on defense and social issues, Trump's visit will be her first major diplomatic test. Two leaders will discuss regional security, trade, and Japan's defense spending, areas where their views largely align. Well, hopefully, maybe that means she feels like Japan should be kicking in more money. Yeah, how much, in today's world, how much of that old idea that we prop up post-Marshall Plan, we prop up Japan and Germany, make sure we got a say in them not getting out of control again. Do we keep funding? How much do they fund on themselves? It says she's a hawk on China, which I imagine they should be. I don't know if y'all realized a little history here. Japan and China, a little bad history. Bad history there. So she's a hawk on China, and that's exactly what they need right now, according to Gordon Chang, author and Asia analyst. In an interview with Fox News Digital, it says that's not going to upset President Trump. In fact, it will help him in his discussions with Xi Jinping because he can say, look, the alliances are strong and getting stronger, end quote. We'll see that. Okay, so, and then it goes into how much she likes heavy metal, which is cool. I mean, that's fine. She was she's conservative and likes the rock and roll. Says she likes Black Sabbath. Sweet. She's a Deep Purple fan. Deep Purple. I mean, that's, I don't know how heavy metal that is, but whatever. Fox News Digital wants to do, that's what they do. All right, so Trump in Asia, popular in Japan, big in Japan, I would add. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.
Jeff.